right at the beginning. They even tell you at the beginning they're going to fuck up. And I think he says, I have it pulled up, but it turned out to be the last time that street guys like us were ever given anything that fucking valuable again.
I want to take us on a little side quest.
Goku's one of the greatest anime heroes of all time. He's badass. He's awesome.
Dude, hands down, Final Fantasy VII wins every day.
How could you not love the Mario Brothers movie?
RoboCop kicks everyone else's ass.
And that's why Superman sucks.
Oh, the Velociraptors kick ass in Jurassic Park every single day.
Yep, went on a bit of a rant there, huh?
Oh, gobble gobble, ladies and gentle nerds. It is our Thanksgiving episode. We got a lot of fun stuff to talk about. Thanks for joining us here on the SideQuest podcast. We're going to talk about some Thanksgiving memories, go-tos. We're going to hit up the Disney Plus Day announcements, especially Marvel. And we're going to end it with some fun main quest about, you know, which protagonists and antagonists are actually quite smart, not dum-dums or stupids. So, stick with us as we get started here, boys. So, our first main quest of the day, let's feast our ears and minds and thoughts into the Thanksgiving holiday. Obviously, we just got done having a very, very big meal. We're still probably digesting, but I want to know, you know, for you guys, how was your Thanksgiving? What did you guys do? What did you look forward to the most? And some of your biggest disappointments? Jeff, I'm going to kick it over to you.
Yeah, so we're down here in Florida. Oh, just enjoying the nice weather and the beach.
The beach boy.
We did something a little different this year. We went to our place down in Florida, which we've never done before. So this is kind of the first time we haven't been in the Midwest for Thanksgiving. So
wow.
It's been different, but it's fun. We've had a lot of activities from, you know, taking my niece to see dolphins, and I rented a boat, so that's dangerous. just gonna go on that and have some drinks and cigars and just, you know, go through the 10,000 islands down there. It's gonna be cool, see some more dolphins.
Yeah,
we're just chilling. We're just hanging out, you know, enjoying life.
Very nice. Did you cook a 20-pound clam?
No.
Is that what you do in Florida?
And it's even different this year. My mom just had it all catered, which
that's nice.
Never does. So this is again another new thing as well. Getting the food catered and cooking it. So
wow, still, feed
still
up
stuck with the traditional stuff. Even though I was like, it's different year. We should have like pasta and sushi and just a bunch of random shit.
pasta and sushi, just every corner of the world.
Yeah, and but no, that got shot down.
Shat down.
Yeah.
Very nice. Justin, how was your turkey day?
My turkey day, kind of similar to Jeff's. We're in the Dominican Republic right now.
Nice.
And beaching it up, drinking it up, and just eating all of the foods possible. So very non-traditional. I've always done the typical Thanksgiving, you know, hurrah with family and turkey and hams and sushi and bratwurst like Jeff is dying for, but not this year. This year I'm out of Dodge and in heaven.
Nice. Very jealous. Well, thanks for joining us, even though you're down there. It's very nice of you to do that. Ours was a little bit more traditional. We're kind of doing the old double duty, D-U-T-Y, for all you potty mouths out there. We went to my aunt and uncle's house yesterday. We do a lunch Thanksgiving, so stuff our faces, and saw my cousin Dan and hung out with them for a while, had some drinks, and then we head over to the in-laws' house around dinner time, and we kind of then eat a whole nother big-ass meal, and it was very filling. I can barely move. I don't feel well. I feel like I'm just getting to that point in my life where it's like, when I go to get my physical now, I feel like I have to explain myself about what I did on Thanksgiving. I feel like that's part of the play now. So,
well, that means you're mature enough to go to the doctor and get a physical.
Yeah, I guess so. I got that going for me. But yeah, no, it's good to see family and catch up. And even though everybody is like, well, I, you know, I follow everything on Facebook, so there's really like no catching up anymore. Like the social media has ruined like catching up with people, or at least people that you care to catch up with. The other time it's just like, oh, okay, yeah, cool. All right. I'm going to go get some more punch. Thanks for chatting. I'm just going to avoid you the rest of the day. Thanks. But yeah, Thanksgiving's always fun. Black Friday, I could care less about. I know you guys could too. So it's Black Friday now. Everybody's out at the stores and buying up a whole bunch of bullshit. So have fun if you do that. Don't tell us what you get. We don't really care. I just buy shit online anyways. So, you know, just going to throw that out the window.
Cyber Monday.
Yeah. I mean, Cyber Monday's fun, though. I like looking on Amazon and seeing what's out there. But the thing is, I don't really need anything anymore. I don't know about you guys. I feel like I'm just at a point where I, like, have the stuff that I want or need. Not like we're, you know, 14-year-old boys anymore, and we have, like, a laundry list of all this cool shit that we want, and we don't have any money, you know, but it's like now we're adults, and we can just buy stuff we want, you know?
Getting some cool stuff, actually, this year to decorate my office, so...
Like what?
Like some photos of, like, these posters that are kind of, like, framed, and it's from the site that... you know, it's like Star Wars, but it looks Japanese kind of version. Justin has a couple of cool ones at his house, the Endor one and the Tatooine. He's got these Star Wars ones, right, Justin? Those you got
there. Yeah, like they're like travel posters.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, nice, so, yeah.
Stuff like that, some figures, a new TV for the room, just some furniture and stuff like that. Yeah, so adult things, but cool things.
Nice. Yeah, I like that. I try to at least get some of the Christmas shopping done that Cyber Monday, get as much off the list as I can, because I don't know. If I go to a store, I'm just like buying a bunch of shit, and I'd rather just like find a list or Amazon wish list and just order from there. It's so much easier. So lazy, I'll admit. I'm lazy. And like stores are super crowded and like shit's off the shelf already, so you know. Fuck that. So leading up into our first segment here, we're going to keep it Thanksgiving style. Let's do some death battle.
Get over here. Finish it. Flawless victory.
This is going to be such an interesting death battle. If you picture yourself yesterday on Thanksgiving and it just turned into a, you know, everybody... fends for themselves, everybody's trying to kill each other in your family or across the table. How do you win this death battle of a family with a turkey meal going down? I know it's not a usual question you ask, but Justin, I gotta know, how do you survive Turkey Day Massacre?
I survive it with a plate of turkey and a nice stiff glass of whiskey. Let them deal with all the bullshit.
Who starts the massacre?
Well, I'm thinking...
No, I think it's different in everyone's family, so...
Okay.
Justin, his family, what sparks the flame of death?
So I think that's a great question you bring on, Jeff, but I'm going to take it one step further. Are we talking about yesterday?
Yeah.
This current Thanksgiving, or are we talking about childhood Thanksgivings?
No.
Because... So... Current Thanksgiving, it's definitely my older brother that sits in the corner watching football, not talking to anybody. Then he stands up and just starts swearing. and then it's like, then my mom's yelling at him. And then this is a fictional one because I'm on a beach in the Dominican Republic enjoying Mai Tais all to avoid all that bullshit. But man, no, it's an avalanche from there. It takes one person. We've lost a few family members over the recent years that would have won the Catalyst Award, but aren't with us anymore. So I put the blame squarely on my older brother.
who's winning the death battle? Who's winning the Squid Game of Thanksgiving?
Oh, it's me. I'm winning that shit. I'm not red light, green light, my motherfuckers.
God, yeah, I'm thinking for me, if I knew going into it was going to be a death battle, I would eat a little bit lighter. I would have not have eaten so much so I could be a little bit more fluid in my movements and like less of a hitbox, you know what I mean? Like less areas to like stab or carve up. I don't know, honestly, this year with how much I ate and if it just dawned on us like what just went down, I feel like people are throwing knives. There's forks. There's little kids with like stabby things. I feel like I wouldn't be the first to go, but I would probably be somewhere in the middle. I feel like at one point I would just succumb to, you know, it's Uncle Eric, let's go get him. And then everybody is after me. I feel like there would be definitely a gang up, and I probably would only be able to take one or two out before I got what's coming. So rip in peace to me. Jeff, what about
yours?
You know,
I think it would be you. I think
I maybe I don't know if I have like anything really super exciting or offensive to tell people that would spark an outrage. There might be some like family friends in the room or some people where, you know, the big thing that the big no-no, the big red button for us, which would start it, is like, oh, someone brought up politics, and it just starts. And then I'm just somehow around it and like not even really a part of the conversation. But then, you know, I start to just get pitchforked for whatever reason. So definitely family, friends, people that we just know or only see once a year. They start it. They fuck it all up. They're probably, you know, the first to die as well. They just start going at it. And then I just try to escape. And then I get slowly murdered and carved up. And then they put me in the oven. Jeff, what
about
you?
What do you guys think human meat tastes like, Eric? It's a side quest, since you're being put in
God,
an oven. Like, are you salty? Are you greasy? Do you have a little sugary smack to you?
I'm probably greasy because I'm probably sweating from just sitting there, like heavy breathing from all the food I just ate. So I'm probably just like fat person sweating while I sit there and gorge. So I'm probably a little bit sweaty, so you don't need to add too much salt, all right? You know, I've got the stuffing already because I just ate a full meal, so you're good there. Yeah, I don't know. I probably don't taste too good, so probably just avoid the dead fatty areas. I don't know. Jeff, you got to answer this question. What's going on in your way? We want to hear about it. Who's living? Who's dying? Who started it?
Yeah, so if it's here at the house, it's really kind of up in the air on who gets to a gun first. and there's guns hidden everywhere.
So it's like John Wick over there.
It is basically, yeah, John Wick's scenario. Who starts it? I mean, and, you know, we also have our cousins over as well, just because, you know, they don't have anywhere else to go either, so... there's more people than just the immediate family, but yeah, I think it's just whoever gets the gun. It's either my younger brother Mac who starts it. He's got a really good knack of making people super pissed off in a short amount of time, because he's very funny, but he can also be sarcastic. So he or I might instigate it, or my other brother, and then he snaps.
So then, triggered.
Yeah, so he's the one snapping. I mean, we were in Belize once, and we were all just sitting there having drinks, and I said something, and he took a full beer bottle and threw it at my head because he didn't like with what I said.
That explains a lot.
So, yeah, he's the one who's throwing the first knife. And then it's whoever gets to the gun first.
Yeah.
The gun. And then it just turns, it literally will turn into a Western shootout.
I like that. So
I don't know. It's kind of, there is no one, everyone's at a fair chance if you get to the gun or one of the guns.
So Justin, I'm thinking this could be a movie here. Turkey Day Massacre. You just three stories, three families. How did it go down? Just super gory.
Yeah. I think it could be a great prequel to Thanksgiving.
Or Ernest goes to Thanksgiving. I don't know. Did he have one? Did he have a Thanksgiving special? I don't know. Ernest Scared Stupid. That was the best.
That was the best.
Well, thanks for joining me on that very fun segment. Everybody, if you're still here, we love you. Don't go anywhere. It only gets better from here.
Murder.
But what I do want to jump back into is a main quest. It was Disney Plus Day last week, and a lot of fucking announcements. A lot of announcements came in.
Marvel. There was the Marvel announcements, and then there was like everything else.
Yeah. And so from a Marvel perspective, let me just rattle some off here because the list goes on. But They're talking about bringing X-Men 97 back, Echo, Spider-Man freshman year, Agatha, House of Harkness, Marvel Zombies, She-Hulk, Ms. Marvel, Moon Knight, What If Season 2, I Am Groot, Ironheart, Secret Invasion, the list goes on.
And you were all like, oh, Star Wars is oversaturating with their three things.
Yeah, but it's true. I'm even thinking ahead, like, out of this list, I don't know. I guess I am a little bit concerned with, like, what they're trying to do. And if they'll be good, I'm sure they will be because it's not DC doing it. But I guess I'm just more inclined to watch Marvel over Star Wars. So that's just, you know, that's just me. It's who I am, Jeff.
So what did you think of What If Season 1?
I enjoyed What If Season 1. It's, you know, the one thing I didn't really like, or I think that I will come to find that I didn't like, is that I don't know if Disney is trying too hard to intermix their Disney Plus series with what goes on in the MCU. I feel like Spider-Man Far From Home, or no, No Way Home, sorry, is going to be the telltale sign of how well they're doing with that. My fear is that stuff that happens in What If and just random episodes, all of a sudden, it's like, if you didn't watch that episode, now you're going to be lost in the next Spider-Man movie. And I don't like that.
Yeah. I mean, X-Men, like, Marvel Zombies is going to be its own thing. That, you know, I'm sure. What If is its own thing. It's part of, it's just a different universe. This other stuff seems like it's going to be the main universe. I don't, Justin, what do they call it? The Prime Planet or the Prime Timeline?
616.
Yeah. So the other stuff seems like it'll be in there. I have no idea where X-Men is sitting in any of this. Mm. Is this the first X-Men they're bringing to the Marvel Cinematic Universe? I don't know. I'm excited for it. I don't know what it is.
Oh, X-Men 97?
Yeah. Is it just a reboot? Is it a...
Yeah, I think that's a good way of putting it. Like, it's a reboot from the iconic, like, 90s timeline. So I feel like they're probably going to keep the same, you know, visual art style and maybe the same cast and just kind of reboot it for a new generation. But yeah, it's kind of odd. Why wouldn't they just, like, release it to Disney Plus, like, the entire X-Men animated series? I don't know if they... I don't think they have that right now. So I'm just... It's a little bit confusing. You know?
Yeah. So we'll see. There's just a lot. There's a lot on there. I hope they don't, the quality gets bad because they're just trying to bust stuff out. Cause I know the quarterly report on Disney Plus is that their subscription's way down. But I hope we don't lose, cause the quality of Loki was incredible. So is Moon Knight and Ironheart and Secret Invasion, She-Hulk, and Ms. Marvel, and Spider-Man, are these all going to be Loki quality?
It's tough to say. I'm definitely concerned about Agatha House of Harkness. Justin, I don't know what you think about that, because, you know, WandaVision was a good show, but I don't know if Agatha was deserving of having her own spinoff. I think they just announced it because of maybe how she was, like, a unique, weird character, and maybe there's more to her story. I don't know. Justin, what do you think about that?
I think that it comes down to, like, a couple different directions that they may or may not be going to. Like, I agree when you say that the new Spider-Man movie is going to shine a light on everything that Marvel's potentially doing. Is it worthwhile to do an Agatha Harkness movie? I don't, or a TV show, sorry. I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
But if they're trying to develop this multiverse of different properties, because you have to think of the way that the comic books themselves from the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s up until now had these runs that would come out and you would have these little mini sub-stories, and it was just like, here's Old Man Logan, here's Deadpool and Hercules, here's any combination of anything you could think of. And I feel that the way that they're coming out with this content is just the way that the younger generation is consuming what they're selling. Are 8-year-olds reading comic books the way that we were when in the 90s? Like, I don't think so. And they have to get the stories from somewhere, and they have to be introduced to Agatha somehow. And their daddy has paid for Disney Plus, so
thanks, Daddy. Yeah,
no, can you hear me?
I agree. It's I guess, you know, don't judge a book by its cover, and all we have are basically like the fucking logos of each of these shows. Like, yeah, they had these really small snippets. Like, I trust Oscar Isaac and Moon Knight. I feel like Oscar Isaac is a great actor, besides for what he did as Ivan Ooze in the X-Men Apocalypse movie.
Learning.
But I feel like Moon Knight could be a good show, because I like Oscar Isaac as the actor. She-Hulk, to me, is... I did see some of the short trailer for it, and it's cool to see, like, Smart Hulk is in it, and it's cool to see that, like, She-Hulk will do something. I don't know what that is, but I don't know how she'll fit into the big picture. And, you know, I don't know. I have some hope. Like, Marvel Zombies is probably one that I just will probably avoid or not even care to catch. I Am Groot seems like it's like a kid show or something. Or
the
like
Marvel Zombies, it's how they do it. If it's going off the What If version, that was very cartoony and not... I mean, I've looked online at the screenshots from the comic of Marvel Zombies, and it looks bananas.
Mm-hmm.
So are they going to go that route? Because then it'd be really cool. Are they going to go the What If route, which was not great?
Yeah. Yeah. I see what you're saying, Jeff, when you called me out over the Star Wars comment, because... It is
it, just reading these off like, eh.
But like, right. I guess here's the thing, though. It would be nice if they would give some nuggets of like, who's going to go what, when, where. Like, it would be nice to know, is Miss Marvel actually going to be in like a Marvel movie? Or is she just getting a show and it's open and close? Is Moon Knight going to be part of a Marvel movie? Or is it just open and close? Like, there's so many movies on the docket and Disney Plus shows on the docket. I get what they're trying to do with like saying, hey, you got to watch everything. So there's no way they can live without Disney Plus, because otherwise the movies don't make sense. So we're going to force them to make sure they watch all the shows and all the, you know, I don't even know, made for Disney Plus movies, if that's going to be the next thing, as opposed to like a wide release in theaters. I don't know. It's just, I'm a little bit concerned. I'm definitely excited for some of them, but not all of them. Like, What If season 2? I watched the Marvel Assembled this past weekend, and the writers, the creators of it, basically said, we created What If to be a single season open and close. We did not expect a season 2. And after the release and how well it did, now all of a sudden Disney's like, all right, guys, get going, season 2. Now I feel like they're just going to try too hard, or they're just going to pull shit out of thin air, or now they're going to try to like, oh, we got to fit this one into the Marvel Phase 5, whatever that is. Like, I don't know. It could be a little bit too much.
Yeah, I mean, they could be starting to go down this Netflix route where Netflix has a hit, and for some reason they feel the need to continue that, even though it shouldn't. Like Squid Game. It was awesome. It was great. Do we need a second season? No.
Right.
But they're going to do it because Netflix.
Right.
It's what Netflix does. It just burns it out till it just dies, and then they cancel it. They're really terrible at that.
Yeah. But I guess, Justin, I want to hear from you, because obviously, you know, out of the three of us, you're more of the, you know the comics and excited to see what comes to the big screen. But any of those shows, like, you know, Ironheart, Secret Invasion, Moon Knight, She-Hulk, any of those, Miss Marvel, any of those that you're looking forward to with, you know, bringing a comic book to life?
Secret Invasion, I think, is the most interesting one that they've got on the schedule. It's an amazing storyline. It's so fascinating what the Skrulls do when they secretly invade. And I think they've set up some little breadcrumbs in previous movies with the Skrulls and who they've been impostering, that could be really cool and potentially lead into a much larger storyline. Will they do that, or will it be a one-off? I don't know yet, but out of all of them, I think Moon Knight could be really cool too, and I hope they do him right. But I mean, She-Hulk, I could really do without.
Yeah.
It just, what's the, like you said, Eric, like what's the point of some of these characters if they're not going to do what they did in, you know, Endgame with bringing everybody together and uniting, you know, 12 years of movies to be like, here, this is the payoff to what you've been waiting for.
Right.
And that's the problem that I have. And I think that they're getting a little greedy overall, but I do think that Secret Invasion might be a key to some bigger storylines.
Yeah, I have to agree with what you said there. I feel like Disney has made so much money off the first 23 movies that now they're just taking loads of shit. They went down to the local zoo, went to the gorilla cage, and are just throwing so much shit at the wall, knowing that, hey, you know what, She-Hulk, if it doesn't pan well, we'll just cancel it. You know, no more, no season two. She's not a part of anything. Agatha, you know, I know they kind of left it open-ended in WandaVision, but it was kind of nice knowing, like, hey, her ending was she's just stuck there and that's it. And, like, that was her punishment for being a crazy witch bitch. but I feel like now, like, Ms. Marvel in Moon Knight and so, like, are they just throwing all this shit at the wall knowing that maybe one of it the audience will catch on to? You know, kind of like they caught on to What If. Like, if What If didn't do well and nobody watched it, I doubt there'd be a season two, or you'd hope they wouldn't waste money, but who knows? Disney has so much fuck you money, it doesn't matter.
Well, and these are more diverse people, like ethnicities and more women type stuff, so they can't do that with the movies because China will just outright ban them. And we know Disney doesn't like to piss off China, so they do a lot of these shows to say, hey, we're woke, we're doing this.
We're so woke.
We're just going to keep it to a show. No, they do this stuff. I mean,
better.
This is also Disney saying, oh, we're doing better, but not really doing it.
Just Kevin Feige emailing China at China.com. We're woke. Listen.
Yeah. I mean, look at what's his face? John Cena apologizing and bowing because he called Taiwan. But, you know, its own country. I mean, but that's what Hollywood does. They're so full of shit. They say one thing, but then they do something else. Why isn't Ms. Marvel in a movie? Well, because then that's religion stuff, and then it won't sell in the Middle East and all this crap. So Disney likes to talk a big talk. So in the way they can appease everyone is like, oh, look at all these shows with a very diverse cast and... You know, it's just, you know, Hollywood bullshit.
Yeah. No, it would be nice if they would at least have, like, some indicator that, like, hey, this one's probably important. Like, they're going to be in future projects. So, you know, put a little star next to Ms. Marvel because she's going to be in Captain Marvel 2.
Yeah, but also don't expect a lot of these to connect too much to the MCU because, again, they don't want... you know, people in countries where they'll ban stuff like this, not understand what's going on.
Yeah.
Like Loki, they can do that, but that's just how it kind of works, which kind of sucks. But Agatha, how much she'll tie into anything, or Ms. Marvel and stuff.
Yeah. I'm also kind of concerned about Loki season two. I feel like season one was good as it was. I feel like it was
you're concerned about more Loki?
Yes. I'm concerned that just like with maybe What If season two, I feel like they didn't realize the gold mine they were sitting on because so many people loved Loki that it just hit the mark. And maybe they knew that going in, but I feel like it's tough to say
How many movies has Loki been in before the show?
Oh, like what, six?
And when he got his own show, you were so excited. So everyone just is fine with more Loki, or else they would have stopped Loki three movies ago.
Yeah, but I guess, you know, to me, I feel like if they could have ended it anywhere, you know, I know there's still more story to tell. I guess I'm just cautiously optimistic that season two will hopefully be as good story-wise as season one. Because How do you pivot in a new direction and like still have mystery and excitement? And like, it was so cool to see all the variants and the way they're going and who is and who's the man behind the curtain and what's going on, that now it's like they're up against, you know, Kang is now in charge and they're at the TVA, and what, six episodes of the first three are just like trying to convince Owen Wilson that he likes jet skis and Loki is Loki, and like, who the fuck is Loki? He's got to tell him who he is. I don't know. It's just, I guess I'm a little bit concerned of where it could go. Maybe I'm alone on this one.
Yeah.
I'm just alone. I'm just alone.
Lonely boy.
Welcome more Loki.
Yeah. No, I agree, but yeah.
I split the difference between the two of you because I understand what Eric's saying, and I think that for how great the first season of Loki was, I fear that Disney doesn't understand why it was what it was. And if you think of it this way, you look at Netflix coming out with Tiger King season 2. Do we need a season 2 of Tiger King?
Nope.
Did Netflix understand why we loved what we saw to begin with? I don't think they did. No. So I think that there's more story to tell about Loki, but do we need it? I think that it might it might take some like negativity towards the first season, because it's like, okay, everything was great, and now we don't need an explanation for who President Loki was, and we don't need to see his campaign. We don't need to see anything else. We saw it. It was awesome. It sets up the multiverse.
Yeah.
And we can still see more Loki down the road. I'm not saying like throw Loki away, but I'm very curious yet cautious.
Yeah. And that's the thing too. It's like at some point I feel like with all the new content and characters, which is good, you know, I know they're throwing a lot of people at us because they want us to fall in love with somebody new and kind of forget about the Tony Starks and the Captain Americas and those that are no longer here. Or in the franchise, but I don't know. I feel like at some point Loki's got to come to an end. At some point, Tom Hiddleston, as much as he probably loves playing it and loves the cash, like at some point, you just don't want it to decline, to say like, you know what, he was great in the first six movies and the first two seasons, but man, those last three movies were just like total shit shows.
Yeah, but I think this now he actually has, he's more of a main figure. He's always been on the side and stuff. He was never like, you know, Tony Stark, or he was never like, you know, and Black Widow or Captain America, where he was front and center. He was always there, and he was really good supporting. And now we all figured out, like, oh, hey, he's actually good at leading as well. So I think this is an awesome new chapter for him, because now we're going to see him as a bigger role or a main focus, opposed to just always causing mischief in a lot of movies that he has been in the past.
Yeah.
So I've got a good side quest for you, because obviously one of the things that is going to happen is these actors and actresses are going to get old.
Mm-hmm.
I think Disney and the MCU probably has plans for like the next 100 years. Like they've probably got content like ready for $21.99 or some shit. Who knows? But when you take something like what happened to Boseman with as Black Panther, and the announcement that the head of VP of content or whatever did last week or the week before about not replacing T'Challa in 616,
mm-hmm.
how does Disney and Marvel handle the fact that their actors, their cash cows, are going to get old? They're not. I mean, huge jacked man can't play Wolverine forever. Patrick Stewart is, you know, like, look what X-Men had to deal with. I mean, yeah, what do they do?
X-Men has been going for a while, and they obviously have to redo them for the new Marvel. So Hugh Jackman's been playing Wolverine longer than anyone in the MCU, even Robert Downey Jr. So they still got quite a bit of time, and also, you know, the ship will sink at some point, and normally that's with the, you know, lead people in charge. Once Kevin Feige's out, if they don't replace him correctly, the ship's gonna, it's just gonna die. I mean, for instance, Final Fantasy Online, I've told you guys about that. When Final Fantasy Online came out, they had this stubborn asshole lead developer of the entire game, and it was awful and people hated it. So he left and they brought a new developer on, Yoshi P, and he's like, okay, we're just gonna remake the game. And they went back and remade it, and now it's the top MMO out today. But what happens when he leaves? You know, same thing what's going on with like Blizzard and gaming companies. When new leads come in, like at World of Warcraft right now, Ian Housakis or whatever his dumbass name is, he's awful and he's ruining the game. Now, they could bring someone on to fix it, or this could really be the end for WoW as we know. So I think, you know, whoever's in charge, once Feige's gone, it could all crash and burn real bad, and maybe they know that. Maybe that we're going to play out his vision and set it to bed. I mean, I have no idea.
I just don't think they're going to be able to capture. This was a once in a lifetime event of like those first 23 movies. That will never happen again, ever, in any company for any type of franchise. I just don't think it's possible. What they were able to accomplish, I don't think it's ever going to happen again. I feel like now they're trying to, you know, recreate lightning in a bottle. And like Justin said, these people are going to get older. Like at some point, you think Tom Holland's going to turn into a man and not be stuck in high school. Like he's still the same age and same weight as he was in the
Morales to take over that. But then eventually Miles will get too old. But at that point, you know, maybe we're kind of sick of Spider-Man.
Yeah, you know, I know. I totally get it. And I just agree with all points. It's like, you know, I can't imagine being an actor that's like, shit, I got to sign on the next 10 years of my life. Like, what am I even going to have two arms in 10 years? I don't even know. Like, is this going to work? Like, are they, I know they're trying to plan out, like Justin said, the next 100 years. Like, obviously that's, it's crazy to think about, but I don't know. I mean, as long as the content is entertaining and enjoyable and it doesn't cause Marvel fans, whether it's MCU or just comic book fans in general, to like start to hate Disney for what they're doing to it, I think they'll be all right. But it's kind of getting to that point where like so much shit's coming out, and yeah, we did have a drought of like a year and a half with COVID, so you know, super hypocrite over here where I'm just, you know, I wanted Marvel, anything Marvel, give it to me, and now it's here and I'm like, fuck, slow it down, I don't want that. Who asked for that? But I don't know. I guess I'm a little bit cautiously optimistic with the future. And especially like they announced what, Blade, like 2 years ago, like, hey, we're going to have a Blade movie too. And it's Mahershala Ali. Like, okay, that dude's like in his 50s right now, I'm pretty sure. And what's he going to look like as Blade in like 3 years from now when they finally start filming the movie, knowing he's going to be a part of like the sixth or seventh Avenger movie. Like, isn't he going to be like kind of an old man by then? Is it going to be like all CGI? I'm way too deep.
Yeah, you're in too deep, but you're asking the questions that you know they have to be asking, because it's going to happen until like Walt Disney shares his anti-aging serum with the rest of us. Like, it's going to happen. Like and I agree with what Jeff says too, is like the ship is going to sink. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
When, how, why, we don't know. But something's got to change, because if you look at the, like, cinema is very patterned with what is big for however long it's big, and then it collapses.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at, you know, like when Avatar came out, the amount of people that rushed out for this new 3D immersive technology, and that was every movie for like 4 years. Everything came out in 3D.
Right.
Same as like in the 70s. It was, and it happens. Like Jaws 3D was a thing, I think. whatchamacallit, House of Wax was like in 3D, I think. And just, it happens. So the fact that Marvel has been able to ride this donkey for as long as they have, I think is, one, exciting, but yeah, I don't know how they can sustain it.
Oh my God. It's so true. It's, I mean, I guess as long as people keep buying and going seeing movies, it's kind of like the, I don't know, like the Call of Duty paradox, or the, I don't know, just name any game, or EA, right? Like people keep buying and pre-ordering games. It's like, well, the only way to stop it is to stop buying that shit. But people keep pre-ordering it, and the next thing comes out, and then everybody buys it. So it just never ends. So just maybe, you know, with your money and your subscriptions, and Jeff, like you said, it sounds like their subscriber count went down, which is surprising to hear. Definitely not a good thing, but maybe it's because, like you said, like people are not going to theaters and they're not releasing it in streaming. And like now people are pissed off. Like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to end my subscription. I want to see it at home right now. Oh my God. So one other thing, because there's a million things that Disney Plus decided they wanted to announce the other day. But the one thing that I am so, so, so happy about, it's probably going to be a total shit show. And I don't know if you guys even heard this, but Will Smith has a an exploration series for Nat Geo coming out. And guess what it is called? Welcome to Earth.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my God. And the picture of him is like in a fucking canoe going down a waterfall, and it's called Welcome to Earth.
Oh. I mean, the only other thing that's not Star Wars or Marvel related is Willow. And I just love the little intro video where it's just Warwick Davis, and he's just, I don't know if you guys have ever seen Life's Too Short, but I highly recommend it with Ricky Gervais, Steve Merchant, and Warwick Davis. And the whole trailer for this Willow is just Warwick Davis in Life's Too Short. They don't know who he is. They think he's old. He can't get their names right. I mean, I don't know if the show is going to be anything like that, but that was my favorite preview out of all of these.
Yeah. I mean, there's just so many. And hey, good for them. Like, it's, you know, they got their platform. They got their money. They're upping park prices. So Disney is just taking over the world, as we predicted, as I think everybody did. But hey, you know what? It gets content out to people and people will watch it. I mean, like, what household with kids does not have Disney Plus? Like, name me one, and I'm sure they're going to get it now for Christmas. So,
oops. Well, oops. you isolated
spoiled it.
A whole section of lower income family that can barely afford to eat, so you're canceled.
Well, hey, you skip the ramen, you eat once every other day, and then you get Disney Plus. We're problem solvers here at the SideQuest
Podcast.
There we go. All right, well, good stuff on Disney Plus. I mean, there's going to be more announcements along the way. We'll definitely provide feedback and give thoughts. And of course, when new trailers come out, I'm excited for some of that stuff, but some of it I'll definitely pass unless I hear some really good buzz about it, or it's just got to be a must-see from one of you guys. I would trust you guys the most. So, moving on to very next segment, we're going to talk about a retro movie of the week.
Bond. James Bond.
I'll be back.
You shall not pass!
All right. Well, this retro movie of the week is none other than a written by and directed by John Hughes movie coming out in November 25th, 1987. Almost how many years ago? 34 years ago? Almost to the day, as of yesterday, Thanksgiving, which is a perfect day to watch the 34th anniversary of this movie, which is Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. I mean, is there a better Thanksgiving movie than Mr. Steve Martin and John Candy in this one? Justin, throwing that one to you.
No, there's not. There's not. There's literally not. And it's tough because I think all of us, we really like the various holidays. We love Halloween. Christmas is excellent. All the lights, the festivities, Thanksgiving, I think, gets kind of forgotten in the media. I mean, we've got Charlie Brown's Thanksgiving, which is awesome. and just eating popcorn and jelly beans with a dog. Like, what the hell's wrong with that? But Planes, Trains, and Automobiles is this like little unique movie from the 80s directed by mastermind John Hughes, with just genius actors in it, and the plot is just kind of perfect.
Yeah.
We need to get home. We use planes, trains, and automobiles to get there. Done. Like, the pitch meeting for this. And John Candy's going to be smoking a pack a day, but it's all good.
Yeah, absolutely. Jeff, thoughts and memories on planes and trains and automobiles.
Yeah, I mean, my dad always loves to play this around Thanksgiving, just for the scene when they're in the motel. People fall asleep and they're just cuddled up next to each other, and they wake up and they just start talking about the Chicago Bears. Yeah, about them Bears. And it's yeah. Like Steve Martin's doing his weird movements, and like John Candy's flying out of the bed, and the whole, I mean, they had such good chemistry in that movie. The two of them played off each other so well. And, you know, other movies have used it as inspiration to, you know, parts of it. Like, even Tommy Boy is like a good callback to Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, especially with all the car scenes and trying to get to this one place with this one goal. But it's also very heartwarming at the end. And it's just, it's a feel-good movie. It's funny as hell. And yeah, it's just peak Steve Martin, peak John Candy.
Yeah. And I just, I love that this movie is rated R. I'm 99% sure it's rated R, or it should be. Because when it's on TV, it definitely blurts some stuff out. But man, it's just a testament to how great of actors they are. Because I slowly start to get so annoyed with John Candy, just like Steve Martin does. Like, you almost squirm in your seat with like how over the top friendly and nice and carefree John Candy is, but like how he is just totally, there's no way he can say no to him. He's just, ah, come on, it's all right, I'm just gonna, we'll just get a motel. But it's just one of those movies that, Justin, you hit the nail on the head. Like, we go from Halloween to Christmas, there's like nobody out there that really decorates for Thanksgiving. Yeah, they might put a turkey out or like a couple candles or something, but people kind of, it's just that in between. It's just like not enough time between Halloween and Christmas. You got to like slap in another holiday there. And I just can't think of any other Thanksgiving movie that is up to the caliber that this one is. I mean, I know there's a number of different Thanksgiving movies or people what they would consider them to be, but this one it's so far in the next category that anybody out there, if you can top Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, please give it a try. I'm so curious to hear what else there is, because this one is just number one in the books. Can't beat it. And I like that they have a map. If you go to their Wikipedia, you can see a map of like where they were supposed to go. versus their actual route, like their intended route.
Scene where he's trying to get to the bus and get the, because he's trying to get the car.
Oh, the car rental.
And then he just fights with her. And it's just, everything about the movies is gold.
It's so good. So anybody out there that's listening, if you have not seen this movie, which I would be shocked, but if you haven't, please do yourselves a favor this Thanksgiving, load it up, watch it, have a great time. It's just such a good movie to watch. So
it's just one last comment on is we covered it on Back in Time podcast a few years ago, and my co-host on that, Kyle, had never seen it before. Somehow.
What?
I know. And he had never seen it before. And I was like, dude, how have you not seen Planes, Trains, and Automobiles? Watched it. It's one of his favorite movies. He's watched it every Thanksgiving since. So, audience, if you've not seen it, trust me, this is a treat for you. Get a plate of popcorn, some toast, and some jelly beans, and dig on in.
Keep adding elements to this dish. I like it. You know, the one, I would be so curious to hear, you know, like Jeff, your niece or my nieces or nephews, when they grow up a little bit and they're able to watch this movie, I'm curious to think if they even like enjoy it or think it's funny, because it was such a time and place that when we grew up, kind of the technology, the TVs, the places they were stuck at, that you had to go to a payphone. I just wonder if anybody, you know, past the age of, I don't know, just insert number there. Anybody that is like older than the year 2000 when they were born, I just don't know if they'll be able to relate to it or think that it's funny, because they just, I don't know if they can believe that that was the world or that was all we had. And that was like, you know, the way you got from point A to point B. So I'd be curious. Anybody out there, let us know. Let us know what you think. hit us up. Hit us up in the interwebs. All right, moving on to our last main quest of the day. This one's kind of a tricky one, kind of could be a big one. So we might need to talk a little bit about it. We might need to save it for another episode as well. But Jeff, you asked a good question the other day that I wanted to add here, and I just want to, the way I typed it out, I want to ask the full question, which is, what protagonist or antagonist are actually quite smart in the movie? In a little quotations, no dumb moves or idiot people. So I think we all hopefully know what I'm talking about. So we have the movies that are like very predictable, like the bad guys are just like walking in and just guns ablazing. They don't think twice. And now the good guy got away again. I got to go. We're going to go after him again. Almost like, you know, Michael.
Don't go into that house where eight people died from some ritual.
And yes. And like Michael Myers, like, oh, he can't. I mean, he can kill people, but he can't kill the main antagonist. Or sorry, protagonist. But same with Jeff. You gave a good example of, you know, Ridley in Aliens.
Yeah, I would say Ripley is a good basis off this, because even in the first Alien and Aliens, Ripley does everything possible that anyone would do in a horrible situation like that. And some people argue, well, a bunch of the Marines died at the beginning, and that's true, but that was because they came in cocky and they didn't believe any of the shit she was saying. They just thought this was like, oh, we're gonna go in this facility, something happened, we'll kill some people if that's what it is. And no, it turns out everything she said and worse is there, and they all pay for it because of their own ignorance. And then the rest of the movie is her and a few left just trying to get off this damn station with these, you know, alien creatures on it. And the whole time she acts smart and she doesn't do anything dumb.
Yeah.
Ever in the movie.
Yeah. I've got two. I've got one for each. So I don't recall many movies, or at least in the near, you know, recent past, that the bad guy won. You know, the villain got away with it, and the good guy loses, and that's, you kind of get lost with the feeling, or left with the feeling that's like, oh fuck, I did not see that coming. Like, that was, you know, a smart move. And I feel like, again, sorry to dip back into the Marvel world, but, you know, Thanos, when he won in Infinity War, I never read the comics, I didn't know, and maybe this is what happened, but, like, I did not see it coming where he was going to win. I was so excited. I knew there was going to be a second part to this Avengers plot, but I didn't know or realize that Thanos was going to be part of it as well. So knowing that Thanos outsmarted everybody and, like, got the stones and rewound time, even though Vision, like, you know, had the stone blown up in his forehead. I thought it was a really, really smart move for him to do that. And yes, I get it. He's CGI. He's not even a real person. It's Josh Brolin in a motion capture suit. But I felt like he was a good antagonist. And protagonist, I don't know if you guys have seen this movie. This is the first thing I thought of because I saw it back in like 2010, 2009. It's a Don Cheadle movie called Traitor. And if you guys haven't seen it, you have to see it, but I'm going to spoil the shit out of it right now. So maybe earmuff a little bit. But the reason why it's a smart movie is, long story short, he's an agent of the U.S. and he was sent to go undercover over to, I believe it's Afghanistan, to go undercover, become a terrorist, and basically foil the operations and feed information back to the U.S. government. So he's over there. He has these meetups with some U.S. agents every once in a while to kind of feed them what's going on, what's the next target, what's going on. And slowly throughout the movie, you're on the fence with what he's going to do. Is he a real terrorist? Is he going to go through with the plot to, you know, bomb these locations and all that stuff? And so the plot is that all of these terrorists are going to get on a bus in the U.S. all on the same day at the same time, and they're going to blow up said bus. There's like 50 different people across the U.S., American, non-American, everybody. And so this whole big operation is in play, and Don Cheadle gets on, supposed to be getting on the bus, but he gets kidnapped. And at the end of it, what you realize is that he actually changed everybody's plans so that all the same people, all the terrorists, got on the same bus. And it was just like the smartest move I thought ever. It was like the coolest good guy twist I could think of. is that you think all these people are standing up, getting excited about blowing up this bus, like this is their big day, big moment. And you see the looks on their faces like, wait, no, I'm blowing this bus up. No, I am. And then all of a sudden someone triggers it and the entire bus of like 50 terrorists blows up. And it was so fucking good. Man, I want to watch that movie again. Sorry that took so long, but that was such a smart move. I totally recommend it for folks that haven't seen it. Sorry I spoiled it, but you'll still love it. And I think it'll still hit you when it hits you like it did me.
There's another movie that it's kind of like, yeah, they do dumb shit and it ends badly. But they acted the way that these people would act. And I want to bring up Casino. Obviously, you guys have seen Casino. And, you know, through the movie, they're doing really well. And then as it goes on, it just gets worse and worse. I mean, Goodfellas goes the same way. But that's how those guys actually did it in real life. And there's a quote from Joe Pesci's character right at the beginning. They even tell you at the beginning they're going to fuck up. And I think he says, I have it pulled up, but it turned out to be the last time that street guys like us were ever given anything that fucking valuable again. And it's just, they did, because they do dumb shit throughout the whole movie, but dumb shit that mob guys like that would do. So yeah, they're doing stupid shit, but it's not like, oh, don't go down that basement, I saw something, I should probably just go home. They're just, you know, greedy assholes, and they're trying to, you know, make an extra buck, and it just goes, it goes very south, and then they get all hooked up with drugs and all that. So it's, some movies, they act the way that those type of people would actually act, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense. Justin, what about you?
Yeah, you guys bring up some really great movies and some great points, and like my mind is racing with different possibilities. I kind of sometimes gravitate towards movies where the antagonist is less tangible and maybe more, not supernatural, but like you take a movie like The Virgin Suicides where, the daughters all, spoiler alert, you know, end their lives there at the end. And just like the antagonist was the parents and mental illness the whole time. But then conversely for like a pro, I guess an anti-hero, it's Christian Bale in American Hustle, in the way that he fleeces everybody to get away at the end. And it's just Jeremy Renner gets screwed and gets sent off to prison. And Christian Bale is just like, well, I'm good.
It's like, it kind of reminds me of No Sudden Move too. I think you saw that, right, Justin?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, very similar to that.
Yeah.
I love those types of movies. Casino's obviously a great movie. And I think that the one thing that I'll add is a big part of a protagonist or antagonist either being good or bad comes down to just really good writing.
Yeah.
And it's on the people and the teams that are sitting down to create these environments to say, like, you can do something like Knives Out with Daniel Craig or a Sherlock Holmes type movie where it's like, obviously, Sherlock Holmes is the smartest man in the room. He can solve anything. What I loved the show with what Benedict did with illustrating, like, how he can solve these crimes and stuff like that. But at the same time, it's like there's some really, really creative people out there that are creating some just stories that are just phenomenal. And like Jeff says, I mean, this is how people really act. And that's, you can't deny that.
Yeah. And I think, you know, one thing that comes to mind, especially with antagonists, it's almost like, you know, in a one-on-one fist fight with the protagonist and antagonist, that the antagonist would always lose. Like, those guys are typically the smarter ones. Like, even like, I don't know, a movie like Saw, right? Like, an older guy, you know, if he came face-to-face with some of the, you know, younger guys that he captured, probably get his ass whooped. But the dude's so smart and he has all these puzzles and shit, like, that's a really smart antagonist. Like, he just knows the next move. He knows what they're going to do. He just is one step ahead of everybody else. It was kind of like Loki. Like, he was pretty smart in his own show. He did the best he could, even though he was still thrown through a loop a couple times. But I feel like some of those villains or antagonists, like, anytime they're just not a good match for the protagonist, they always end up being, they have to be smarter. Otherwise, they're not going to get away with it.
Right. Like Blue Rune, if you've seen that, like that's another kind of like anti-hero level type movie, but that movie's effing phenomenal watching him get justice for his murdered families. But I guess it's pretty much just the plot to Punisher, but whatever.
Can't go bad with that. I hope they bring back Punisher with John Bernthal now. He was actually a good Punisher in my book. Hopefully, please.
Agreed.
Disney, where's that? Where's that on the Disney Plus day? Like, how is he not fucking on there? Gosh, what the fuck are you doing, Disney, with all your money? Give some to us. Okay, thanks. All right, boys. Well, that's it. Happy Thanksgiving. Happy Black Friday. Happy Cyber Monday. Eve. That's it. Everybody in...
To end this.
Let's end this bad boy.
We're all going to do our best turkey impressions.
Okay.
All of us together.
All right, let's do it.
My brother lives out in Iowa, and I guess, according to him, turkeys are the dumbest animal on the planet. He says they literally come up to his back porch, and they see their reflection in the door, and they just bang their heads until they knock themselves out. Because they think they're like threatening themselves. He's like, they're so fucking stupid. So we're just a pack of three dumbass turkeys.
All right.
Walking around.
Like it. All right. In 3, 2, 1. I'm dead.
Huh.